I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to St. John 10, verse number 10. Don't look so discouraged. I promise by the help of God, we're not going to preach too long. Put a lot of shortening in this. But John 10, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Right after my conversion, I'd only been saved for a few days, and I found myself at church when they said, "Let's have prayer." I knelt back there at the seat and I began to say, "God, forgive me for the life that I've lived." And in so many words, God spoke to me, not with an audible voice, but said, "Quit beating yourself up for charges that's been dismissed." Because when I said, "Lord, forgive me," God said, "For what?" And I said, "Well, God, you know how I've lived." He said, "No, I don't. I've forgiven you." That's what many of the songs have been about this morning. So I want to talk to you for a little while. Stop beating yourself up on charges that's been dismissed. They tell me in the formal legal world, as a court case that is dismissed with prejudice is over and done once and for all and can't be brought back up. And that's the way it is when we get saved. God forgives us of the past and puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, as the song says, never to be remembered again. Guilt shows up in many ways. Maybe some of these that I'm going to mention looks familiar to you. Beating yourself up for past choices, mistakes, and imperfections. Feeling as though you can never do enough. You know the old devil, no matter how much you do, the devil's there to say you're not doing enough. We let other people put us on a guilt trip, not speaking up when you need to or you want to, and then you feel guilty, making decisions out of guilt and obligation, feeling indebted indefinitely to someone who did you a favor. Perhaps you haven't forgiven yourself for your past life. False guilt can have you playing a broken record of self-sabotaging thoughts. I want to challenge you, don't be too hard on yourself. I meet up with Christians from time to time, and they're too hard on themselves because of the things they did before they got saved. And in some cases, even things that they have did since they've been saved, but they're under the blood. God has forgiven them, but even though they've been forgiven, they continually to beat themselves up. Too many people this morning are black and blue, not from others' emotional punches, but from their own emotional punches. What have you been beating yourself up about? No doubt in the audience this side, there's people right here that from time to time you beat yourself up spiritually because of something that happened in your past. Not being further along or making a bad decision, saying the wrong thing. Maybe you feel like you've not been the parent that you needed to be. You haven't been the wife, you haven't been the husband, you haven't been the preacher, you haven't been the teacher. Or do you beat yourself up for not getting married? Do you beat yourself up for getting divorced? Do you beat yourself up for working too much? Do you beat yourself up for not working enough? Do you beat yourself up because you're overweight? Do you feel like you beat yourself up sometimes because no matter what you do, the devil says that was wrong. You did it wrong. Perhaps you even beat yourself up for making mistakes. Friend, you are going to make mistakes in life. Friend, mistakes are a fact of life, but thank God we can learn from them mistakes. We can grow and not repeat them again. Things will not always go as planned. Beating yourself up about it doesn't change one thing. You know what it does? It steals your joy, amen? And perhaps your expectation is that you should be able to do everything all the time perfectly. And that's exalting just to think about that. It's easy to insist you could have done better in a situation or in any given day. You do your best. And you, all of us can look back and say, well, maybe I should have done this different. And maybe as a parent, I shouldn't have done this. I should have done that. We can look back over our life and we can say, I shouldn't have done it that way. And we beat ourselves up. But my friend, what we got to realize that at the time, we did the best that we could under the circumstances. Amen. And so we have to leave things with God. The divine promises in the Word of God. I've been amazed this morning to how many of the songs went right along with this message. I thought about the scripture in the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and verse number 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Amen. Thank God. That's for you. That's for me. The sins of the past, the sins that are under the blood, God said, I will remember, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You may still remember, somebody else may remember, but God chooses to forget. The promise that sin will both be forgiven and forgotten is addressed to those under this New Testament covenant. Friend, if you confess it and you forsake it, then thank God, it's forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you turn to God and confess your sins and forsake your sins, He will forgive you of all unrighteousness. That includes anything that you have done that you're willing to bring before Him and confess it and forsake it. Because the Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from some unrighteousness. No, 1,000 no, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad to report to you this morning that there's no sin too big for the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus makes the vilest of sinners clean. Friend, does God forgive all sins? If you can repent of it and confess it and forsake it, all your sins will be forgiven. Isn't that wonderful, sinner friend? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'm here to tell you that every sin that you've ever committed can be forgiven, washed away, and as the song said, put in the depths of the sea. Praise God. The Bible says in Titus 2 and verse number 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity, and purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then there's another wonderful promise in the Word of God in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Quit beating yourself up over sins that's been dismissed. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far thee removed our transgressions from us. Believers need to quit living in the past, because God wants us to focus on what's ahead of us and forget what happened yesterday or many years ago. Since Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, and thank God, blotted out all of our transgressions. God doesn't just ignore our sins. He's willing to remove them, thank God, far away from us. God doesn't have memory failure, but he's saying he will never bring up our forgiven sins, amen, once we have been saved, once we have asked forgiveness for. Once forgiven, as far as God's concerned, our sins are forgotten, and he'll never bring them up to accuse us again. Thank God Jesus paid for our sins. Amen. And I'm talking about every one of them. Friend, we can't move forward if we're still beating ourselves up over the past. And that's why in many cases, God bless their heart, people just keep coming back to the altar and keep coming back. And I think we ought to come back every time we have a need. But friend, you don't have to keep coming back. If it's things that's under the blood, if it's things that you've asked forgiveness for, you don't have to keep coming back, because God has forgiven you, and he don't forgive you for a week or two or for a year. It is forever. Friend, we make a bigger deal when we make a bigger deal of what we did than what Jesus did for us. We'll spend our lives burdened by fear and shame. I'll tell you, friend, I was a bad sinner. I was on the bottom, but guess what? It was a big deal, but what Jesus did at Calvary was a bigger deal than that, amen, because he took care of it, amen, 2,000 years ago, and so thanks be unto God. Maybe you've asked God for forgiveness, and you even believe that you've been forgiven, but you still beat yourself up over and over again because of the failure, because of the sin. You may have even said to yourself, I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. Is that your problem? You can't forgive yourself? Is that possible? How can you accept God's forgiveness and not forgive yourself? The forgiveness of God that God granted us was very costly. Jesus shed his blood. He died a sinner's death to satisfy justice and make pardon possible for us. To say that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself, is to say I really have not fully accepted the forgiveness of God. How can anyone look at Christ crucified and then raised from the dead and not allow that full impact of that divine act to have its ultimate effect upon our lives? Friend, when I look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary, I'm compelled to say, Jesus paid it all. Amen. I don't have to pay it, because Jesus, thank God forever, he paid it all. All for me, thank God, and all for you. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Friend, he took the full punishment of your transgression. He took the full punishment of my transgression. And friend, there is no more spiritual penalty levied upon me. There's no more penalty of sin upon you, because Christ paid the debt. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Not because of what I've done for Christ, but because of what Christ has done for me. Which means God does not hold sin against me any longer. Amen. Every sin that I had committed before I got saved, God don't hold it against me any longer. And that can be your testimony if you'll get saved this morning. Amen. All those sins, thank God, will be forgiven forever. Now the Bible tells me, and this ought to bring us hope, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you get that? Amen. No condemnation. Do you feel condemned as a Christian? You know what that means? It's the devil. Amen. That's the devil. That's false condemnation. Because if you're in Christ and you're walking in the light, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who are walking according to the Spirit of God. Jesus was condemned on the cross so that your sins would be paid for in full. Don't let that sly old devil whisper to your mind, oh, but that one sin was pretty serious. That was really bad. And that was real, so bad. You really think God even forgive you for that sin? You know, that was really bad. And maybe they're all forgiven, but what about that one? And when you hear those thoughts like that, you know what? You can reply to the devil. Say, devil, I'm a Christian now. I'm a believer. Amen. My Savior has saved me. The blood has forgiven me, and I've been purified, and I have no condemnation from God. Amen. So I'm not going to accept any condemnation from you. Amen. That's the devil, isn't it? He likes to bring back those thoughts. Amen. And accuse us, because that's what he is. He's an accuser of the brethren. Is in Christ, your guilt is removed. Amen. Stop beating yourself up over sins that's been canceled. Amen. And so, my friend, sometimes people even have a hard time. They beat themselves up over sins that's been committed against them. They think it was their fault. And some examples is a person who's been sexually molested. There's people that feel guilty because someone else did something to them, or a child's parents get divorced and then the child feels somehow it's their fault. And so you can't allow that to work in your heart and life. So a few decades ago, people used to wear a little badge with these letters. Maybe some of you remember, G-N-F-W-M-Y. You know what that means? God's not finished with me yet. Amen. Do you know that? He's not finished with me yet. God is not finished with you yet. He's still working on me. He's still working on you if you'll let him. Yes, my friends, so today, let it go. Declare that this is the Sunday morning that you're going to stop beating yourself up over the past. Determine to let the full impact of Christ's sacrifice on the cross set you free from self-torment. There's a lot of folks around the church, they need set free from self-torment. Amen. We all stumble, but falling down isn't what makes you a failure. It's staying down that makes you a failure. I've determined I'm not going to stay down. I don't want to fall down. But if I do fall down, I'm not going to stay down. By the grace and help of God, I'm going to get up, because the Bible tells me that I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Stop focusing on the one thing that you did wrong and start thinking about all the things that you did right. Yes, you can't cover over what you did that was wrong, but once you confess it, once you forsake it, leave it behind. Amen. All that constant self-criticism is exhausting. And you know what it'll do? It'll leave you aching on the inside. And when you fall, tip back up, dust yourself off, receive God's grace, learn from the experience, and move on. Friend, if we're forgiven and free from accusations, then the only thing that keeps us from approaching God with confidence is our consciousness of what happened in the past. But listen, our purification was twofold. We were forgiven of sin and cleansed from its guilt all at the same time. Amen. Therefore, we must let forgiveness and mercy overcome the accusation of sin. And here's how we can do that. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I want to ask you a question, and I'm trying to close. Do you this morning have a vicious voice bad mouthing you for much of the day and throughout the night? We are only on this planet for a short time. You can spend the rest of your life beating yourself up and being miserable, or you can learn to deal with the accusations of the devil. By the grace of God, I've learned to deal with the accusations of the devil. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life beating myself up over something that happened 30 and 40 years ago that's under the blood. Praise God, I don't have to, because of what Christ has accomplished. I stopped by to tell you this morning, it is time, this Sunday morning, to stop beating yourself up over everything that's happened in your life. It's time you are able to breathe and smile and know that all is well with your soul. You don't have to be defeated, because there's victory in Jesus. I want to tell you something, friend. God wants to heal everything that hurts us. What's hurting you this morning? God loves you, and he wants to heal everything that's hurting you. What's hurting you? God is not only a physical healer, but he heals us emotionally and spiritually. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, there's a long list of sins written down on your account. But the good news is, it can all be dismissed this morning. Isn't that a miracle? That is the greatest miracle of all. As the sister testified this morning, that God can change a person. All the sins that you've ever committed in your life can be dismissed. Stop beating yourself up on charges that's been dismissed. And if you're here and you're not saved, this be a good time. Get all those things washed away, put in the sea of forgetfulness.